Good evening, and welcome to Talk Truth Radio with your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth, and you can look forward to the next 3 hours of enlightening talk. What are the issues? More importantly, what are the solutions? We hold the torch. Together we stand. Now join Dr. Rain and this evening's guests. Open your mind and have a good time.
Welcome to Talk Truth Radio. I am your host. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan. Thanks so very much for joining us. I got some announcements tonight. Usually we have Dr. Sandra Rose Michael on at some point during the show, but her butt's out there traveling. She is in Florida tonight, and she wants to remind everybody, come to Chicago. Come to Chicago. In and around the Chicago area, if you know people that maybe you're not from around that area, but maybe you know people that are, tell them about the American Academy for Anti-Aging Conference in Chicago, August 2nd through the 5th. And she is speaking in front of 5,000 MDs on Thursday the 2nd, August 2nd. You can certainly go to their website and check them out. So that is going to be fabulous. I will be there. What do you think of that? Oh, yes. I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm all excited about that. I want to send out a thank you to Carrie L. for having me on her show at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Love, love her show, HeartLink. Those of you that listen to me, if you don't know about her, go to her show because she just is awesome. Okay, this evening we have a fun show on, very serious business to me, and maybe some of you think of it as fun or entertainment, whatever, as long as you listen and attempt to follow along and learn from it, that's all I care about. So just to let you know, too, later on in the show tonight, Effie Chow is scheduled to come on, and we're going to be talking some more about Qigong and using energy and healing things, and, you know, let's just go out there and heal the whole world. Let's just do it. And, yes, I use the word heal. I know that's a no-no in that medical field out there, in that allopathic medicine stuff. But I said it. Yes, I did. I said heal, and I'm not going to take it back. Okay. Without I go on and on, because I can do that, Monica Lewis is back on with us tonight. And I'm really hoping that you folks are following our shows with Monica, because we're doing a teaching. This is a class. And we're doing classes on Sabian astrology. And remember, if you don't get us when we're live, you can get us archived. If you didn't get us live, get us archived. You can listen anytime. You can download us on an MP3 or onto a disc or do whatever you want to and listen in the car. So you can take us with us with you wherever you go. So, Monica Lewis, good evening.
Hello, Rain.
How you doing?
Back on.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yep.
So this evening we're going to be doing a little forecast for the month of August.
Yes.
And you are going to talk about aspects, and that ties in with aspects, the forecasting of the next month.
Yes.
All right. Take it away.
Well, as Rain has said here, what I'm doing is an astrological forecast for the upcoming month of August 2007. And to do that, we just take a look at the aspects, which means the angles of relationship between the planets and the heavens for the upcoming month of August, and we see what the background is all about and what's going on. Let me just start out by saying there is one major big event that's going to happen all of August. Venus will be retrograde all of August. Actually, Venus turns retrograde this coming Friday, July 27th, on that day, about midday for North America.
July 27th?
Yes, Venus will turn retrograde about midday for North America.
Okay.
And Venus will be retrograde from July 27th until September 8th. And so the entire month of August will play out the drama of Venus retrograde and its inferior conjunction with the Sun on August 17th. So that's the first thing I want to say, is whatever other astrological aspects I'm talking about for the month of August 2007, they're all going to be playing out against the backdrop of Venus, the Venus retrograde cycle. Venus only turns retrograde once about every 13 months, and so this doesn't happen very often. Of all the planets in the sky, Venus turns retrograde the least, so only 20% of the human race is born with a natal Venus retrograde in their chart, which makes them a definite minority and a rarity. So Venus retrograde is like the rarest of the retrograde aspects, and we're going to be treated to the month of the August of the full drama of Venus retrograde, and I do mean drama because...
What, yeah, I was just going to say, what do you mean by drama?
Yeah, I do mean drama because Venus retrograde is the time the Mesoamerican peoples, particularly, and I mean here the Aztec and the Mayans, counted their calendar in the beginning of their year by the cycles of Venus, and Venus retrograde was a very special time for the Mesoamerican, Aztec, and Mayans. They counted it to be a special time to pay attention to things that are going on in the world. And so that's why I say drama, because there's an intense drama and mythological drama that's played out when Venus is retrograde. May I just tell the mythic history?
Absolutely.
That the Aztecs and Mayans used? Well, most of the time, for most of the world's peoples around the planet, Venus is a feminine planet. It's the goddess of love, and it's always considered to be a female planet, just by the mythology associated with it. But in the Mesoamerican tradition, Venus is a female planet when she is the evening star and when she's in the heavens and not retrograde. But when Venus turns retrograde, which it will midday on July 27, 2007, Venus turning retrograde then leaves the heavens and comes down to Earth and incarnates as a human male. So when, at the time that Venus is retrograde in the Mesoamerican mythology until it rises again as the morning star, which will be August 21st or to August 25th, depending on the angle of the Earth and where you are and what you can see, Venus will be incarnate on the Earth and will be considered a male planet, according to the Mesoamerican mythology. And during this time when it's a male planet, when it's retrograde, from the time it turns retrograde, through this inferior conjunction with the Sun, which is Venus retrograde will conjunct the Sun on August 17th, especially from this period from July 27th through August 17th, it will be incarnate on the Earth as a human male. And as a human male, it's going to, in its retrograde phase, it's going to have an encounter with the goddess of love on the Earth. It's going to beget a child. It's going to go through all the trials and tribulations of human incarnation and all the mistakes that one makes around human incarnation in terms of relationship, love, you know, hate, making all sorts of clumsy errors. And so it's an interesting time when Venus is retrograde. In the time that Venus is retrograde, which is the whole period from July 27 through August till September 8, anyone born during that period, and for the rest of us who aren't born in that period, we're going to be dealing with the sides of ourselves our repressed Venus characteristics. In the Mesoamerican myth, Venus is transsexual and can change sex during its cycle around the sun. So during its retrograde period when it's male, men will be more in touch with their anima, meaning their emotional feelings. Men will be much more in touch with their emotions than they normally are, and women will be getting in touch with the male side of themselves. They'll be much more assertive. Their Venusian tendencies will take on a male cast. So it's going to be an interesting time. One of my friends refers to this Venus retrograde period as Venus in drag, or Venus having a transsexual operation. It depends, but it gets very, very interesting. So it's a very interesting time period, and I'm doing research on this Venus retrograde period because I'm giving a lecture on Friday night, July 27th, locally. For those of you who are in the area, I'm giving a lecture at the Lighthouse Bookstore in Superior, Colorado, on the Venus retrograde function. And as a result, I've been obsessed with the last month doing research on it. What I've mostly learned about Venus retrograde, which will color the whole month of August, is that anyone who has a Venus retrograde does march to a different drummer. Their values, because Venus represents values and tastes and one's aesthetic emotions. It's all the Venusian things. Anyone who has Venus retrograde doesn't have the values or beliefs or artistic tastes that are held up by the culture to be the most valuable. You know, the things that society says, that's beautiful or that's the right way to behave. Anyone who's got a Venus retrograde natally is a person that will say, no, you know, society, religion, society, my class, my family, they all tell me I should like a certain type of value and I should take on a certain standard of values. But those values don't ring true to me. They don't resonate with my interior self. The values seem to be foreign to me. And yes, to get along, I may have to fake it. But as soon as I can get away from it, I will want to express my own unique sense of value, which I may not be able to articulate. Because one of the things that goes on during a Venus retrograde period, which people shall be noticing from this time period, is that you're suddenly in contact with your visceral feelings. I really, really don't like that. Or I really do like that. I may have been told that I'm not supposed to like that, or what I like or dislike is either valuable or not valuable according to social standards, but it's not about social standards. It's about what do you viscerally in your gut either love or hate. Not what someone has told you is good to love or hate. So it's a very private time when there's a lot of soul searching going on. And just collectively speaking, the month of August is a time with Venus's retrograde that there will be a lot of review in the world of diplomacy and international relations. There will be a lot of critical review of the policies, a lot of soul searching around. We went ahead with this policy, but is it the right thing? Should we be doing this? Should we change that? So I would really expect that the debate over the Iraq war and how to withdraw and what to do to bring the Iraq war to a successful conclusion, whatever that may be.
That's what I was just thinking about as I was listening to you talk, that's going to be the debate, we're going to really take a second look.
We're going to take a deep second look where Venus is retrograde, and the debate is going to heat up. It's going to heat up tremendously because people will be looking at it critically. And this is the whole world. The whole Earth will be looking at, therefore all countries will be looking at their foreign policy critically, whatever country it is,
yeah,
and saying, maybe we'd better redo that one. So I would see that there will be a tremendous heated debate over what to do about Iraq. What's the right thing to do? Or, yeah, we're in a mess. Now, how do we get out?
I think one of these times we should have you, we're going to have you on, we should have you maybe run, is there any way to run a chart on, say, the day the war started?
Yes, I have that chart. I sat here with the day that the first bomb fell on Baghdad for Gulf War II, when this started. I have the chart. I sat here by the radio when they were announcing that they were going in, and I marked the time.
And we really went even deeper, excuse me, on a larger scale in 9-1-1.
Yeah, that's going to come up in September very powerfully, just to jump ahead to September. On September 11th of this year, we have a solar eclipse on 9/11, which is a super new moon. So that's going to bring that issue up in a profound way as well during the month of September.
We're going to have a solar eclipse?
We're going to have a solar eclipse, which is a super new moon, a very powerful, exactic new moon, on September 11, 2007.
And how do you think
how
will the Earth react?
Well, that's going to be, a solar eclipse is an effect that lasts for the next 6 months, so from September to March 2008. There's going to be a profound soul searching about what, you know, what does 9/11 mean, you know, 6 years later. There's going to be a tremendous evaluation again, because the Venus retrograde, as I said, ends on September 8th. Mm-hmm. And so the new moon is only 3 days later. So there's going to be a lot of linking between the emergence of Venus into direct motion and the solar eclipse, which is something we can talk about in depth for September.
Yeah, and numerically speaking, that being a 6 day, six being the six of the major arcana, and the lover's card and the number of balance.
Right, there's going to be a lot put. So he's going to be looking at what have we achieved and what balance has been achieved, if
yeah.
any.
And I think many eyes, at least intuitively, I would think that many eyes are going to be turned toward what can we do to fix this.
Well, that's what actually the Venus retrograde cycle, there's a lot of other aspects I can talk about week by week. I thought I'd take this week by week through
mm-hmm.
August. But the whole background is this Venus drama that's going on. Because just to continue what the Mesoamericans and the Mayans and the Aztecs said about it, is they said, you know, you have this soul-searching in international relations that occurs during a Venus retrograde. So there'll be all sorts of people looking at foreign policy and behavior and relations. But the interesting thing is, in the Mesoamerican myth, when Venus, they're waiting for Venus to conjunct the Sun on August 17th. That's when it goes back into the arms of the Sun, and that's sort of when it dies. That's when Venus dies. According to the Mesoamerican myth, Venus comes down to Earth when Venus turns retrograde, becomes a human male, makes love with the earthy love goddess, begets a child, goes through all sorts of human incarnation mistakes, and then when Venus retrograde conjuncts the Sun on August 17th, Venus as a male god, an earthly male incarnation, dies. That's what the ball game that was played at Chichen Itza was about, the duel to the death between Venus and the Sun. And when Venus dies at the conjunction, which will be August 17th, then it stays in the arms of the Sun. What starts to fall into the arms of the Sun, I'll back up here, on August 13th. And that's the last day that Venus is seen as the evening star. And then it disappears as the evening star because it's too close to the Sun to be seen. And the Mesoamericans call that Venus going into the arms of the Sun. Then it actually makes the union with the Sun at the inferior conjunction on the 17th. And then it reemerges, still retrograde, but reemerges from the arms of the Sun either on the morning, very extremely briefly at dawn on the morning hours of August 21st at dawn, just before dawn, or some people say August 27th. I've got two sources. One, people say that it reemerges from its embrace with the Sun and is reborn as the morning star when Venus reemerges on August 21 or August 22. Venus is now retrograde, but it's now the morning star because it's rising very briefly ahead of the sun. In fact, from August 21 through August 25, it's so briefly ahead of the sun that you have to have very good eyesight to see it. And this period of time, August 21 through August 25, the time period when Venus has emerged from its embrace with the sun and is now beginning its phase as the morning star, the Aztec and the Maya said that was the most politically unstable period. August 21 to roughly August 25 will be extremely politically unstable. They say when Venus first appears, let's say August 21, August 22, depending on how you calculate it, it has arrows of light. This is the Mesoamerican myth. There are arrows of light that Venus throws toward the Earth, and these arrows of light are deadly weapons. They're spears. Because when Venus reemerges from the sun and becomes the morning star, it's reborn as the goddess of war. And so Venus rising before the sun was a signal in the Mesoamerican world to assemble your army for war. So they had a belief that when Venus rose from the arms of the sun and became the morning star, in that very early period, which is now this year, August 21 through 25, Venus will just be it'll be a flicker. It'll literally be just a flicker of light before the sun rises up and obscures it. And at that moment of flickering, it's throwing arrows toward the earth. And the Maya used to stop up their chimneys so that the light of Venus wouldn't come down their chimneys in the morning, because if it did, it meant terrible bad luck and terrible things would befall your family. And so they considered this period when it's first rising, which is now August 21 to August 25, as a terribly bad, unstable period. They said that in this particular first, what is called the helical rising of Venus, that's what it's called, the helical rising, August 21, 22 to August 25, is the period when national leaders are insecure and governments are most unstable and terrible things can happen.
So August 21st through, what did you say?
About the 25th.
About the 25th.
Right. I've tried to consult the websites on the helical rising, which, according to some people, the helical rising, which simply means Venus rising before the sun. Some people say it starts August 21. Melanie Reinhardt says August 21. And the ephemerises I've consulted say August 22. So I guess the way to find out is to get up before dawn on August 21 or 22, wherever you live, and see if you can see Venus for the briefest of moments before the sun. It'll be just a flicker.
And so then after that, we'll have a few days of a difficult period.
Right. What it says is, according to the Mayan myth, that period of time from the 21st to the 25th is the period when it's just flickering, that you have the most instability, the most insecure national leaders. People will fumble. They'll get insecure. And when people are insecure, they do something to make themselves brave. But it doesn't mean they're thinking clearly. It just means they're trying to fix their fear and insecurity.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Bush does.
Well,
I wouldn't say
just Bush alone. Of course, him, because we're speaking here on an American broadcast, and that would be most important to us. And because the United States is a world power, it's certainly important on the world stage. But I would expect that any national leader could be insecure and do something with bravado as a miscalculation, and that would end up making a mess. You know, we could look to China, to North Korea, to Iran, to someone in the Palestinian movement, to someone in the Israeli government. It could be any government leader anywhere on the planet might get a serious case of insecurity, and they need to prop up their ego with an act of bravado. Without thinking clearly.
That's what we need, more bravado.
Yeah, because underneath it all, there's a tremendous amount of fear.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's this panic of, oh, God, I got to fix it because I'm shaky. I've got to be brave now, or look brave, or look good. And that doesn't mean that people would be thinking clearly. So I'm just saying August 25, we kind of keep our ears to the floor and see what is going on and what the rumbles are. So it's a time to say, it's not a time for impulsive action, you know, based on the need to make yourself feel secure, because it's probably you'll be doing a knee-jerk reaction and make a mistake in judgment.
Right.
So that's what I'm looking at. Now, the reason I picked the 25th to end it is because, according to Melanie Roundheart, she said by the 25th, Venus is definitely up in the heavens at dawn before the sun, and you could see it really clear. It doesn't flicker anymore. It's definitely up before the sun for a period of time. Now, to finish the Mesoamerican myth, they said the minute Venus was about to turn direct, which would be September 7th of this year, we have to overlap because this Venus retrograde period touches both on the end of July and the beginning of September. The Venus turns direct. Then in the Mayans and the Aztec, when Venus was about to turn direct, they mobilized their armies. And the minute Venus was in direct motion, which this year would be September 8th, they set their armies to marching. It was a time for war, because Venus is now the morning star. She's the goddess of war. So basically the Mesoamerican myth is Venus is killed off as the incarnate human male, dies in the arms of the sun, and to quote the Mesoamerican myth, and I don't know whether this is Mayan or Aztec, but Venus rises as the morning star from the underworld, from its embrace of the sun, sticky and wet with the blood and bones of the dead. So it's not Venus as sweetness and light and the morning star. It's Venus as the goddess of battles, the mother of battles, the war goddess. And so, you know, because when she becomes August 25 is when she's stable, you know, September 7 or 8, and she's direct and she's stable and she's in direct motion as the morning star, then you're ready to put your army on the march. So I would think we need to watch that too, to see what happens here, because when Venus goes direct, all this soul searching that you've been doing while Venus is retrograde, then there's a decision made within about a month of that. You know, everybody can debate all during August, but by September and October, after she turns direct, the debate's over and people are acting.
And the final decree has come down.
Right. And the important thing about this Venus is this whole Venus drama that I'm telling you about, what mm-hmm. I found fascinating about it was that in the Mesoamerican myth, Venus is transsexual. Venus does take, when it goes retrograde, I thought it was fascinating. It came into human incarnation as a human male. And so it talks about, with the Venus retrograde, how these different aspects of yourself come in. It's time to look at the parts of yourself you normally don't deal with. I thought it was an interesting thing that a sky goddess comes to Earth and incarnates as a human male, goes through a human life, dies, and then rises back to the heavens as a goddess, dies and rebirths into the heavenly world as a goddess again, but comes out with a tremendous empowerment on the positive side.
Yeah.
On the negative side, she sounds very angry. But it's a fascinating experience, because when you get into this Venus retrograde, during this whole time, to sum up this Venus retrograde section, we are finding that our values, our personal values, we have to make a personal journey like Venus does through earthly incarnation and find out what we really value, what we really believe, what we really love, what we really hate. How do we really relate? Never mind how we were supposed to relate, what our religion told us, what our society said was how to relate, what to value. Never mind all that.
But how do we really think?
What's
and
the
feel?
Visceral truth? Because Venus retrograde is very earthy and visceral. In fact, one of the most profound things that, and I got most of my source material here from Melanie Reinhart when I did research, was that what Venus retrograde is, it's very difficult to articulate. People just feel it, but they can't necessarily tell you. They viscerally feel it in their gut, but they can't really talk.
Right.
And the one thing she brought out that, like, Venus goes direct September 8th, and she says about a month after Venus goes direct, which would be approximately a little more, about October 11th. And the reason I've picked October 11th is before we've talked when Venus entered its shadow. Venus is exiting its shadow, the place it turned retrograde and the period of its retrograde area on October 11th. So around October 11th, people will be able to articulate, meaning verbally communicate, what was going on with them in August, but not really tell them, because it just, what's going on is so visceral, it hasn't risen to the level of consciousness where you can communicate it. It's just not ready for that kind of communication. It says what will go on is something you feel in your gut and you just instinctively live out. And the thing I've learned about this that I'm going to go into a lecture on Friday about more in depth is just how much I've learned to respect the right of every human being to have their own values and their own way of relating and loving and their sense of aesthetics, that no one has any right to judge what someone else is working on in terms of personal taste or relationship issues and how they're going about it.
Mm-hmm.
Venus retrograde gives you a lot of respect for allowing people to go their own way and march to an interior drummer, not to an external standard like a social moray or a religious commandment. In any way, it's really what, it's very agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is a time when there's greatest authenticity. And the authenticity may be shocking for people, because you might believe that your whole life you've had social values that are in line with what society defines as good, or your values have always been in line with your religious teaching, whatever that may be. And when Venus is retrograde, you'll find out, no, my real feelings, my real values do not have anything to do with what society says is good or my religious teaching has told me it's good. It could be very, very painful, you know, because you see the real truth, and it might be personally very shocking. But the end result and product of a Venus retrograde is that Venus does make union with the sun, and which is the true source of life, the self. So it's saying the end result of Venus retrograde, the effect of the retrograde period, is you come out of it living a much more authentic life, your true being. You're living out who and what you really are, and you're secure in that. So that's the positive news about this retrograde period. We're going to be doing a lot of soul searching with that during August. I'll go on here to the other aspects that are playing on the stage with this Venus retrograde as the overriding theme and backdrop. One of the major things we have going on is on the very first day of August, we have a Jupiter, on the second day of August, and around the first, we have a Jupiter-Sun trine, which means we suddenly just want to grow. Jupiter trine the Sun on the second is, I feel good, and I just want to get out in the world and grow. I just want to be all me, and I want to expand and be more me. And so we have, in the first week of August, a whole effort to push ourselves toward optimistic growth and expansion. And we start defining and studying with the help of Mars and Mercury, and mostly Mars and Mercury. They get together and say, we'll help you grow. We'll help you decide what thinking would help you grow the most. What kind of actions would promote your growth? So the first week of August, and by that I mean the time period from August 1st to the 5th, we'll be working on what's going to help us grow, what's going to make us more ourselves. And we'll be thinking about that very deeply with the help of Mercury and Mars. And Mercury will get a big push because Mercury on the 4th of August will go into Leo. And in Leo, we'll be all ready to talk about, with bold talk and big ideas. We'll want to tell everybody our plans for personal development growth. And we'll keep it up. And finally, by the end of the, by the 5th of August, you know, on the 4th of August, we're talking about our big plans for expansion and personal development. On the 5th of August, is August with the last quarter of the moon, we're going to be saying, wait a minute, I've got all these great plans for my personal growth, but is my personal growth really in line with what's good for other people besides myself? Well, we brought up short. It's like we can personally grow, but we can't forget about other human beings. So there'll be a crisis in consciousness on the 5th of August where we're saying, does our personal growth have any, is it in harmony with what's good for the community, what's good for our fellow human being? And we'll be brought up short by looking that we can grow and make big plans for ourselves, but that doesn't mean we have the right to step on someone else's foot or punch them in the nose. And so we'll be reconsidering all that on the 5th. And then beginning the next week, which is August 6th through 12th, the next big event is Jupiter turns direct, into goes in direct motion. Jupiter's been retrograde, which means we've been making all these big plans for growth and keeping them, you know, in dreams and visions inside. When Jupiter goes direct on August 6th, it's suddenly, we don't want to talk about it, we don't want to dream, we just want to get out and do it.
We want to experience it.
We want to do it in the outer world. So Jupiter going direct means we start putting all those ideas for personal growth we talked about last week into let's do it. Let's get going, let's get moving. And as we get going and moving, we're helped on August 6th by another pair who get in on the growth project that we're on for the first weeks of August. Saturn and Pluto trine each other, and Saturn and Pluto deal with deep restructuring and regeneration. It's not enough just to add, if this were a house, it's not enough just to add another room onto the house. Jupiter wanted to go direct would say, you know, I just need to enlarge my space. And if it were a house, it would be the analogy of adding a room on. Then you throw Saturn and Pluto trine into the mix, and they say, well, that's nice that you want another room, but shouldn't we restructure the whole house by kicking out a wall and adding a room and digging another basement, maybe a second story? So there's a huge, massive restructuring and redesign.
That and that's on the 7th?
That's on the 6th.
On the 6th. Well,
yeah.
How interesting. As I'm listening to you talk, I want a new house. I want a new house, and I'm thinking it needs to be at least 3,300 square foot, maybe 4,000 if I can find it. And you keep using the word, or using the analogy, bigger house, bigger house. I wonder if that's going to come.
Well, it's, when Jupiter turns direct on the 6th, it turns direct in the 10th degree of Sagittarius, the Sabian symbol, 10 for 10, the 10th degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the goddess of opportunity. Weighing twins. It's like the goddess of opportunity has showed up. So now we can go ahead. But when we get going with Saturn trine Pluto, we're talking about the effect is like the television show Extreme Makeover. It's not enough just to have a bigger house.
Right.
You need to have the people from this Extreme Makeover television show.
Yeah, so I need a grand house.
And give you the grand, the big makeover. That's what Saturn-Pluto is, the extreme makeover. It not only has to be bigger, that's Jupiter, or more, but it has to be
grand.
Profoundly restructured and deeply put on a new foundation. So that would be the analogy I would be looking at. And you might even see that acted out on the television show Extreme Makeover, because what they will air during the week of the 6th to the 12th of August on the show, I bet will mirror these aspects.
How interesting.
They'll mirror the aspects. And once you've got on the road and said, we got to get going here about deeply restructuring our life with big ideas and better ideas, making our life better through profound change is what the theme of the week, August 6th through 12th, is. Mars, which I told you was on the bandwagon to help out, has moved from Taurus to Gemini, which means Mars in Gemini means now we're very assertive in communicating what we want and why we want it, and we want it now.
Uh-oh.
And we can get pushy.
That could be a problem for some people, couldn't it?
Right. On the 6th and 7th, you're looking at people getting very verbally, I want it now. I'm not going to wait.
Uh-oh.
And you can't make me wait. You try to make me wait, I'll run you down. And that really gets dicey because that Mars has just entered Gemini on the 7th, on the 6th and 7th of August, depending where you are on the planet. Then Mars immediately will square Venus retrograde in Virgo. And a Mars-Venus square is a love-hate ambivalence. Mars and Venus in square is, I love you, I hate you. Whatever you're doing. So the ambivalence will start to surface. And people could get into some extreme verbal arguments. With Mars, Venus squaring each other in the sign of verbal communication, Gemini and Virgo are both signs ruled by Mercury. So it has to do with words. And suddenly you could get into a very vicious verbal argument where you critique each other to death. You know, you slice each other with a fine knife, a stiletto. And it could get really nasty. And all the love-hate in the relationship or all the stuff comes out. Because this is part of the deep restructuring that Saturn and Pluto are pulling off. Part of their deep restructuring trick is, let's have you upchuck everything that's been on your nerves lately.
Uh-oh.
And it's on your nerves, and now you're going to let it fly because you want a better life. Jupiter is gone direct. You want a better life, and you're not going to wait anymore. And anything or anyone who appears, and I stress the word appear, to stand in your way is going to be, you know,
move,
considered to be an enemy that you have to get rid of because they won't let you have what you want, particularly because on August 8th, Venus retrogrades from Virgo, where it turned retrograde, back into Leo. And Venus in Leo is what's good for me. I want what's good for me, and I don't care about anybody else. So there's going to be a time period because you're getting in touch with what is good for you. That's the Venus retrograde in Leo. You won't care what other people think. And so there could be a lot of, I want what I want. And then all this week of the 8th, then people will say, but we have to talk to you. Your ideas are grandiose. We want you to have what's good for you, but not at the price of stepping all over us. And they'll go, but I want what I want, and I'm going to, you know, I'll do anything to get it. So you have, right after Venus retrogrades back into Leo, Mercury will trine Jupiter in Sagittarius, which means, again, big talk, big hyperboil. You know, I'm going to go after what I'm getting. I don't care what it'll cost me. And you know how people can really talk big. They'll be starting to talk big again. And big talk will be tolerated on August 8th, but by August 10th, Mercury and Leo will end up hitting Pluto. And Pluto is, you could talk big, but there's a point when talk is cheap and you either put up or shut up, and now you have to look at the price. Big, you could end up talking big and then having to look at the price of it. Mercury square Pluto, which is, wait a minute, it's big talk could cost you. It could cost you the death of a relationship, the death of a business relationship. So you have to start calming down a bit because Mercury trine Jupiter is all about just big talk and hyperboil. Then when Mercury hits Pluto, it's like, wait a minute, cool your jets because you're beginning to pick on the bigger players in the room. So you aren't so big that something bigger can't take you down. Pluto is big. It's the final word on the issue. So
I would suspect that this would have a heavy effect on people going through relationship issues.
Oh, yeah, because what the real push of the whole month is with this Jupiter going direct and the Jupiter-Sun trine opening the month, is people really do want to have bigger and better lives. They really do want to deeply change themselves so they can have a better life. And anything that they perceive, especially with Venus retrograde, that if they're critically evaluating relationship, that's Venus retrograde too. Does this relationship really meet my real needs? And with Venus retrograde, there's no more kidding around. You can't rationalize. It really does or it doesn't. So everybody will talk about improving. And it's sort of, if you won't improve, I don't need you. Because Venus retrograde is very independent. It could be very comfortable alone. It likes its space. It likes to be alone. So the relationship that Venus retrograde wants is with itself. Its primary relationship is with itself, or with the divinity, the life spark within itself. That's why you have Venus retrograde conjuncting the Sun, which is the life force. Venus retrograde is not interested so much in relationships in the outer world. People and things in the outer world that you normally would see Venus into relationship. I need a relationship. I've got to have friends or a partner or something. That's normal Venus. This Venus says, I don't need anybody. I got myself. That's Venus retrograde. And I don't want anybody around me who doesn't allow me to be my true self.
Yeah.
And so suddenly something you've been putting up with, people will not put up with. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, some during this Venus retrograde of this week, especially August 12th, 6th to the 12th, that a lot of relationships get a serious shake-up. Because they'll either be proved that they can stand, they're very good relationships because they can handle this deep change and growth, or those relationships cannot handle deep change and growth.
And they'll fall apart.
And when they fall apart, the amazing thing with Venus retrograde is maybe the people involved, let's just call this a male-female relationship or a friendship, you know, any kind of personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
With Venus retrograde presently, if that relationship falls apart, whether it's a business deal, a personal relationship of any kind, the irony is it may be that the people involved in the relationship that is falling apart under the retrograde motion,
mm-hmm.
they won't care. Other times they might care, but right now they don't care.
Right.
Because they're beginning to realize this relationship doesn't suit me.
Yeah.
And I just found out that I can be my own best friend. You know, Venus retrograde appears very self-sufficient.
Well, this is interesting because I know in my own personal life I have several things that are getting ready to make huge changes. And they have to do, you know, some of them are based on conflict in one area, which is very, very important, because if there wasn't conflict in that area, I wouldn't make the move into doing what it is that I really want to do.
Right.
So I find this fascinating.
Well, I'm glad you are, and I hope the audience is too. You could see why I went on about the Venus retrograde being there all the month of August, because all the other aspects I'm talking about play out on a stage that Venus retrograde created.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, that's the backdrop. That's the floor
yes.
on which everybody else
yes,
has to
is.
Dance for this whole month of August.
Okay.
No matter what other aspects I'm talking about here, their reference points always have to be this retrograde, Venus retrograde.
Okay.
And it's interesting because the end result is all of this is actually very positive. if it isn't, there's nothing wrong with wanting to make a better, become a better human being, make yourself better, and doing whatever it takes to make yourself better.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with shedding things that don't serve any longer.
That's right, and that's one of the functions of Venus retrograde. That's what it means when Venus goes back in the inferior conjunction. That's an astronomical term. Venus will conjunct the Sun on the 17th, and it's called the inferior conjunction because when Venus is retrograde and it conjuncts the Sun, it's called the inferior conjunction. Why is it called inferior? Because Venus is between the Earth and the Sun. When it's called the superior conjunction, the Sun is between the Earth and Venus. So right now, the Earth is very much involved with this. So Venus is like standing between the Earth and the Sun. And that's why it's called the inferior conjunction, because Venus is inferior, meaning below the Sun position.
Okay.
It's in front of the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a technical astronomical statement. It's about position, relative position. When it's in superior conjunction, Venus is on the other side of the Sun from the Earth. So right now we're looking at the inferior conjunction, which is always a Venus and the Sun, which is always when Venus is retrograde. If I ever say the inferior conjunction of Venus, you know automatically that Venus is retrograde.
Okay.
So this is playing out, and we're all getting ready for this, all this drama of shedding the snake skin, like you said, shedding what doesn't suit you anymore.
Right.
All this is getting ready for the big moment, and that big moment is coming from the 10th to the 12th, because we have the Sun in conjunct Uranus. And in conjunct is an astrological aspect of 150 degrees. That means time to make an adjustment. And Uranus is always shocking. So by August 10, everybody has had all these arguments and all these revelations and all these interior feelings come up. Now there's going to have to be, on August 10th, an adjustment made, a Sun-Uranus in conjunct, a shocking adjustment made, which means you might have a real break-off in relationship because, you know, it's all come to a head, and you really see that this doesn't suit you anymore because it's an adjustment to real. It says the wonderful thing about Sun in conjunct Uranus is a shocking and sudden adjustment to real needs, to real personal needs. So by the end of the 10th, you're realizing, I really do have to get rid of this relationship because it doesn't serve, or whatever else that came up in the first 10 days of August that you're now aware is really outdated and it really has to go, because the drive to become a better person is what's driving it all. So you're going to get rid of anything that doesn't make your life better. So this is all leading up to what happens on the 12th of August, which is the new moon in Leo. The new moon is a new beginning, a new cycle. Every new moon is a new beginning. So on the new moon, which is August 12th, and it will be in the 20th degree of Leo, Sabian symbol, we begin a new cycle of self-development. After you've shed all these old things, now you're ready to really begin anew, and we start new on a new cycle of personal growth on August 12th. And 20 degrees Leo is Zuni Indians making ritual to the Sun. And this is based on the fact that the Zuni Indian people do perform rituals which they say helps the Sun rise. And if they didn't do these rituals, the Sun wouldn't rise and therefore life on Earth wouldn't continue. I'm not familiar with the Zuni religious beliefs, but these rituals do have to be done all the time in order to make the Sun rise. So what this Sabian symbol 20 Leo refers to with a new moon is that each of us will have to make our own personal Sun ritual, being paying homage to the Sun, which is the spirit of life in ourselves. And as you know, it's the Sephiroth on the tree of life, which is Tiferet, and all paths on the Kabbalistic tree of life lead to the sun, Tiferet.
Right.
So this new moon is where you pay homage to that.
That's on the 12th.
On the 12th. On the new moon in Leo, every human being, it's a new beginning. A new moon is a new beginning of a new moon cycle. So it's now a new beginning of self-development, because Leo rules self-development. And we have to base our new self-development on the intrinsic spiritual value of ourselves, the sun. We have to pay homage to the sun principle in our own lives. What keeps us alive? But that spirit of life. So all of us have to pay homage to the spirit of life that animates our physical existence. And when we pay homage to the true spirit of life, which animates our spiritual existence, this is the meaning of 20 Leo, then we really can begin a new cycle of living. And that's what we do. And as we begin this new cycle of living at the new moon on August 12th, Neptune will also oppose the new moon. And Neptune is at 21 Aquarius. At 21 Aquarius is a woman watches a man desert her. It's really a scene of a woman watching a man walk out on her. It's the end of a relationship. And as he's leaving, she says, a woman faces watching a man leave her, faces a seemingly empty life. And I'm going to emphasize the words, faces a seemingly empty life. Neptune opposite the new moon is disillusionment. You know, like it's over and now I've got nothing to live for is the first reaction when something's over. But the key words is seemingly empty life. The key words is seemingly. It's only, Neptune is an illusion. It's not empty. It just means now you have a space to make a fresh start.
Yeah,
so
you can create something.
Right. So you are now in a position, disillusioned as you may be, or empowered as you may be, that you really have a clean space starting on August 12th to do something new. And part of that, on the positive side of the sun, new moon opposite Neptune, is that you get, now you're free of all encumbrance. You can start to work on your real vision, what you really want to do. Because there's no dead relationship or outmoded value blocking your path. You got a wide road wide open before you. And you use